Good afternoon again. Have you ever gone to a job interview or worked at a place that expected you to have a 2 to 3 minute, what we call elevator speech about yourself, so when you talk to people, you can say who you are and what you do? We've had that at SABIC and other places to tell, so you're a recruiter and those things. And when we go through interviews in the government, they usually start with, tell me a little bit about yourself. All of those sentences start with what? I. You kind of have to tell a little bit of your background and who you are. A lot of people are very uncomfortable with that. And I'll tell you a little bit about me. I'm an OCD neat freak kind of guy. So when I came in today, John pointed out the board was messed up over here. Somebody moved the attendance today and contribution today. And this morning when I put the numbers up, I put them where they always go. And guess what I did not do? Read what was beside them. So our attendance today was 6,415, and contribution was 83, or whatever the numbers were. So it took me 5 minutes to figure out how to get this board back right and get my numbers back where they were. So if you want to mess with people like me, move stuff like that, then we're just, but it's all good. Today, we're going to talk about the I Ams of Jesus. We're going to go through the book of John, so go ahead and be turning there if you would. We'll start in John chapter 4, and we'll let Jesus tell us who he is by his I Ams. Now, most documents you look up, the references for the I Ams of Jesus, they have seven. We're going to cover 11 that are in the book of John, and then there's two in Revelation that we'll hit really quickly. But the seven major ones that they talk about, most scholars, we will talk about as well, the other four, Jesus says, I am in those as well, although they're not as direct as the seven that most folks address. The term I am relating to God appears over 300 times in the Bible, starting in Genesis 15 and last in Revelation 22:16. That is the personal name of God in the Old Testament. From Exodus 3:13 and 14, God told Moses to tell them, the I am has sent you. So I am refers to God. Philippians 2:9 through 11 says, therefore God has also exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. Jesus is Lord. The name above all names, equivalent to Jehovah, exact equivalent to the words, I am. So we will go through that in the book of John. Turn to John chapter 4, and we'll answer, who is Jesus? Or we'll let Jesus answer, who is Jesus? So John chapter 4, verses 21 through 26. Now there's 11 of these, and it won't take that long, I promise. A couple of folks have already told me, hey, you know your time limit's 5:30. So we're at 5:15, so we'll go through these pretty quickly. John chapter 4, 21 through 26. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So he is the Messiah. Put yourself in this woman's place. First of all, he's talking to a Samaritan woman there at the well, which is surprising to her. But can you imagine when she says, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is Christ, and he looks at her and says, the one you're talking about, I am he. How do you think her reaction would have been? What would your reaction have been? Maybe skeptical, maybe not, but notice that the person she was talking to was the Messiah that she knew was coming. So Jesus says, I am the Messiah. John chapter 6, 30 through 35. Therefore they said to him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Now this happens pretty soon after he had fed the 5,000, so they were talking about physical food, and we all know that when we eat, we will soon be hungry again. Some of us sooner than others. I'm one of those things, or one of those people that I really like to eat. And I'm almost to the point where I used to laugh at an older fellow that I knew. He would wake up in the morning worrying about breakfast, and as soon as he ate breakfast, he would be planning lunch. And as soon as he planned lunch, he'd be thinking about what he was going to eat for dinner. So in his mind was always, what am I eating throughout the day? As Nathan told David, I am that man now. I start thinking about what I'm going to eat. But physically, we think about those things. But Jesus here is talking spiritually. He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger and never thirst again. Jesus provides the full nourishment and nutrition that we need spiritually forever. John chapter 8, verses 48 through 58. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. You have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So the Jews had spiritual blindness. They didn't want to believe what Jesus was telling them. Colossians 1:15-17 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him, and in him all things exist or consist. He was not created. He was eternal. He is eternal. He was from the beginning. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Jesus has been there from the beginning. And he's telling these folks, I am the eternal one. And they didn't believe him. It's interesting how he talks to them, though. He says, and if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. Wow. He just tells them exactly how he sees it, doesn't he? But he does it with love, but he is trying to convince them of who he is, and he calls out their ignorance of him. So let's make sure that we understand that Christ is eternal. John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is doing the work of the Father, and he explains to them that he must be doing that. Interesting how he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He is holy. He was holy on earth. He was the light from heaven that was on earth, the light of the world. He was the incarnate Son of God and was the light while he was here. Who's the light of the world now? Christians. We are. We're told that we are the light of the world. Now, can we do what Christ did when he was on earth? No. but we are to be His light and carry the gospel to those around us and be the light for this world that we're in. So the question is, are we now the light of the world? Because He said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light. He's in the world now through us, so we're the light. John chapter 10, 1 through 9. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus said he's the door. He is the only way in. Our building, we have three doors that we allow people to enter on most services, the two indoors in the center. But we also have doors in the fellowship hall. We have side doors here. So there's many doors to get into this building. So you can come in any of these doors and end up here. But Jesus says he is the door. There's only one door, and that is Christ himself. There is no other way. And he says that his sheep will know him because he is their shepherd. And if a robber comes or someone else calls out their name, they will not answer because he is the good shepherd, or the door. And then now we'll go to that he is the good shepherd. So we'll stay right where we are. And just go verses 11 through 14, a continuation of what we just read. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Now, I was doing some reading on shepherding, and we think that, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is the shepherd moves the animals around from pasture to pasture so they're fed. But at night, it said he takes them into some places where the sheep were contained, and there was no door. So the shepherd would lay down at the door. He was the barrier between the predator and the sheep. So when Jesus is talking here, he says, if it's just a hireling who don't own the sheep, what do? They run when the predator comes. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He gave his life for us. He protected his sheep. And he says, but a hireling does not. The good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and they know him. So Jesus is the good shepherd. He will not leave us to predators. He will always be there to protect his sheep. And the interesting thing is, he is so loving and protective of his sheep. The Bible says that if one sheep goes astray and returns, he rejoices over that one. Even though he has 99 others, when that one sheep comes back, he rejoices. And as Christians, if we have a brother and sister who wanders away and they come back, we should rejoice with the good shepherd because he's rejoicing for their return. And so should we. John chapter 10, verses 31 through 38. John 10 is full of good things of the I ams of Jesus. 31 through 38. I think this is my favorite one of them because of what he discusses with them. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered, it is not written in your law, I said, you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Jesus is like, okay, you don't believe what I tell you, that I'm the Son of God. Look at my works. Even if you don't believe what I say, look at what I do. And if look at what I do doesn't show you that, then you're not going to believe. But it's funny how he is direct in that point where he says, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. On Wednesday night, we've been talking about Christians and how we interact with the world and our brothers and sisters and how we treat one another. And really, it comes down to this. Look at my works and what I do. Because Wednesday night we talked about if a brother or sister sees someone in need and you have the world's goods and you do not give it to them, what good have you done? None. So it's by the works. Don't say we're Christians. I mean, it's good to say that, but people ought to know we are by what we do. And like Jesus says here, look at my works. That should show you what I am, who I'm serving, and what I'm trying to do. So let's make sure that we do the same with our example. John 11, 25, 26. We'll go through this one really quick because we've talked about it for several Sunday mornings in class, and Mike hit it just real quick this morning. But this is where Jesus talks about the resurrection and the life. This is about Lazarus that we've been talking about for several weeks. So in 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" So Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And Romans chapter 6 tells us that if we have been united with Christ in his death, we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we believe that Jesus' resurrection from the grave provides the victory over death. So we know that Christ is the life and the resurrection. John 13. We'll go to verses 13 through 17. "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you as an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." One of the things that we talk about a lot in strategic leadership and servant leadership and just leadership in general is a good leader will never ask his or her followers to do something that the leader himself is not willing to do. That's part of leadership, inspiring other people to do what you will do with them. And Jesus here gives them an example of the master, the teacher, the Lord, being a servant. And he talks to them about that. He says, "I've washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example." So isn't it amazing that as we go through the I ams of Christ, he is the eternal one, he's the resurrection and the life, he is God, but yet he's willing to be a servant and do those things to show his followers that you need to be like I am, to be a servant, to do put others before yourself and do those things that will help others. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. This is a very comforting passage, one that we've heard a lot, one that's used a lot at funerals and other different types of things. "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's pretty clear, isn't it? Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Does it say some folks cannot come to the Father? No, it says no one comes to the Father except through me. You remember a few Wednesdays ago, we started with there's over 200 organized religions in the world. 199 of those don't have Jesus as the only way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is it. Like we read earlier, he's the door, he's the way, he is our only way. Through him is the only way to the Father. There's no other way. So when we talk to folks about who Jesus is, this is one of those things that we need to make abundantly clear in a loving way that Jesus is the only way. And then our last one in John is John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So does that sound like there's results that are required or expected of us or demanded of us as Christians? Sure sounds that way to me. Jesus says he is the true vine, and we are the branches. And the branches that are fruitful will continue to be fruitful, but those that are not will be cast out, withered, and will be burned in the fire. So we need to make sure that our branch is producing the fruit that it should be producing. Your branch may produce more fruit than mine. My branch may produce more than yours, but they both should be producing. We should be doing those things that God asks us to do. And remember, we've already talked about, he laid down his life for us. He's the good shepherd. He is the eternal one that gave his life for us, so we should want to live the life for him, to be the fruitful branch. The last two references we're going to talk about is in the book of Revelation, so turn there. Both are in Revelation chapter 1. We'll start with verse 8. Jesus says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. And then drop to verse 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. You know, if we read nothing else tonight except verse 18, where he says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. We sing a song, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Jesus says, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys. So don't ever forget that we serve a risen Lord, the eternal one who was before Abraham, who still is, who is alive, then dead, and alive again. The good shepherd, the true vine. We serve him every day. I know this has been a quick review of the I ams of Jesus in the book of John, but I hope that it has made us think about who Jesus is. Because in today's world, a lot of folks will ask that question, do you know Jesus? Do you know who he is? And they will give you some answers that are not necessarily scriptural or biblically based, because the world today has this different view of Jesus and who he is and what he stands for and those things. But we need to use the Word of God that tells us who Jesus is. As we've said, he's the Son of God, the door, the way, the truth, the life, the good shepherd, the eternal one, and the New Testament, the gospel of Christ, is for each of us today. So the question today is, do you know Jesus? Are you in Christ? Have you obeyed His gospel? Have you believed, repented, confessed, and been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you done that but wandered away from the great I Am? As we've talked about before, if you need to return, the shepherd is waiting for your return. And he so much wants you to return, and so do we. If there's anything that we can help you with today, we ask that you come as we stand and sing.